been caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. Joining us in studio, Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Doing great. Let's talk about some crime and incidents before we get to the two kind of, you know, big questions that we need to talk about. Number one, y'all had a fairly substantial fentanyl bust off of a traffic stop.
We did. Yeah. One of our deputies was in the Wedgwood area, saw a car that had a bad tag light on it. Couldn't see a tag. Stopped the car and we ran a canine around it. Canine Roland, who was named after one of our fallen deputies. And we found not one, but 2 kilos of fentanyl.
Okay.
And it was tested positive for fentanyl. So 2,100 grams of fentanyl. And as you know, they talk about how little fentanyl it takes to be a potentially fatal dose.
Right.
And in this situation that we calculated, it could conceivably have killed over 1 million people. That's a really substantial arrest. And we also seized $22,000. 2 people were arrested. Their names escape me right now, one of which was in the country illegally. And so once he's dealt with his trafficking and fentanyl charges, I'm assuming he'll be deported.
You know, opioid related deaths are down in the country. I haven't looked, and so I apologize for not knowing. But are local incidents down substantially, significantly? I always think of this as part of the core. Also, we're treating, but you know, it seems to be declining.
Yes, the last figures I looked at, the EMS would have all of the numbers.
Right.
The medical examiners obviously would have those numbers. But as last I heard, they were declining the last couple of years. We were at one point the number one county in, I think, the state of Florida. Mm. And we're, as far as I could tell, we're no longer the number one state, but or the one number one county. But I will tell you that we've made fentanyl our number one priority. And we've partnered very well with the DEA and the FDLE. Because there's some grants associated with fentanyl investigations, and we certainly appreciate our partnerships, and I think it's paying dividends. As you can tell, this was a traffic stop,
right?
But man, that's a lot of fentanyl that would have been in our community, cut up obviously to make it more available to people.
You know, and I know some people who are, I would say, generally anti-law enforcement, they talk about the problem of pretextual stops, which is, you know, stopping a car for a seemingly minor thing. But, you know, man, when I've done the ride-alongs, the seemingly minor things often are what you find major things and thwart major crimes because of, right? Because, you know, criminals don't maintain their car and you pull them over for, you know, in this case, the license plate is out and you wind up finding a massive amount of drugs, right?
That's right. Yeah. We're not forced as law enforcement officers to ignore violations just because you suspect there also might be something else in the car.
Yeah.
If you know a guy was, had warrants on him, but he runs a red light, we're not forced to ignore that red light, but just because we have other information. So yeah, there's, obviously, proactive law enforcement that takes place, and in this case, obviously, very good proactive law enforcement.
You mentioned the canine. What was the canine's name involved?
Roland.
Okay. The canine name is always on the windshield, right, of the canine units,
yes,
up in the front. Because right. I know at our church we had Streeter was out there. I'm like, oh, I know that one.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so
he's the jumper.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. He was the famous one. He made the radio. So the other story. A fight at the Whataburger over too many pickles. What happened? This is on 29 Kingsfield.
Yeah, apparently after the Tate High School game, some juveniles, some youths, had gathered around the Whataburger in the parking lot right next to it, and at one point there was a disturbance and one guy pulled a gun. I think the manager, as reported, the manager or someone, one of the employees, grabbed him and then they fled. So we're still looking for it. We should be ready to gather the from corporate.
The manager grabbed the guy who had drawn the gun?
That's my understanding. That's from my understanding, yeah.
All right. Hero.
And corporate has the video, so we're going to get that today. Hopefully we can get that today, and we'll be able to sort this out and probably get the information about, first of all, if a crime was committed, if it's committed as reported.
Yeah.
And then we can figure out what takes place. But, you know, everyone says, oh, is this one of those takeovers? Well, typically those takeovers are publicized and advertised over on social media, and it's called "Come over here, let's take it over." I think that it's been my experience that teenagers, young adults, have been gathering at parking lots of restaurants since the 50s.
Yeah, right.
American Graffiti.
Since there have been parking lots. Yeah.
So before that,
it was at the pond, or was at the field, or was the barn, or was
I don't recall those times.
Yeah.
That's too much Andy Griffith for you, I guess.
Teenagers gather in places with each other. Have you heard, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a thing. And yeah, it's been a thing, right, again, since the Fonz would do it.
At Al's?
Yeah.
Al's nice, nice. Wow, you're old. I'm old enough to remember, too.
I am.
Fair enough. I want to talk to you about Stand Your Ground for just a second. This Walmart story, basically this guy is... It's a parking dispute, and he just won't let it go and deliberately comes back to this woman two different times after parking his car several miles away and comes back. And she's basically, you can see her on the video, retreating, saying, stop it, leave me alone, you know, go away. Everybody's yelling at him to stop it, leave him. And finally, she's had enough, and she shoots him in the belly. I think he's dead. Somebody texted me that I hadn't seen that report, but I think the guy died. And they didn't charge her because stand your ground, right? You do not have if somebody is threatening you, you do not have the obligation to retreat, right? Simple?
Yeah, no, I'm obviously any loss of life is tragic,
right?
But you have the right, and to me, you have the obligation to protect your family. And if you reasonably think, we talk about reasonableness all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, you and I do. And if you have you reasonably believe that you or someone else is in danger, you can defend yourself. Here's the thing. When someone has a gun or they're telling you to stop. Because the consequences can be severe.
And I mean, some people, I guess the switch just gets flipped and they can't control themselves or something. But, you know, this is like, this could have taken an off ramp 10 different ways.
Well, I think some people are just used to being bullies. Some people are used to, you're not going to hurt
you?
Me.
Yeah, how dare you talk to me that way?
I don't think you're going to do anything. You know, that don't scare me type of thing.
Well, it only scared him one time, you know. I mean, you know, it did not have to be this way. You and I spent a lot of time talking because last Monday was when Governor DeSantis had made his comments about Flock cameras. Then FDOT issued their instruction that within 30 days, all the Flock cameras have to go away. The automated license plate readers, ALPRs, have to go away on state roads. There was a question when you and I talked on Tuesday of what you were going to do. But, man, you know, once the dam broke here locally, you know, Santa Rosa said they wouldn't do it anymore. You guys said you wouldn't do it anymore. Gulf Breeze and Pensacola. So basically our two-county area. I still haven't heard anything official from Milton, so I do not know. But do you know? Has Milton made an announcement?
They may not have any.
They may not have. Oh, that's true. They may not have any. But, okay, so what was the thing that changed in your mind from, you know, 7:40 a.m. last Tuesday to, like, 11 a.m. last Tuesday.
Well, we had a rather extensive conversation. I mentioned then that these were the things that I was contemplating. We knew we had to pull down the ones from the state. We knew that that would diminish our system. We knew that other sheriff's offices, a lot of sheriff's offices actually pulled them or either suspended them or discontinued them throughout the state. I also knew that the Florida Sheriff's Association was going to in our next legislative session, talk about some potential legislation regarding them, protections and some level of comfort for the agencies, but also for the population that we serve. And so I thought, you know what, our system is diminished because local areas aren't doing it anymore. And so, again, it starts to chip away 100% of our system, and then 66% of our system, and then 50%. So about half as effective as it would have been, and the numbers are still declining. And so I thought, you know what, why don't we put a hold on this? Why don't we suspend the use of these systems until we can get some clarity and we can get some level, again, of comfort with regards to the people that we serve? Because it matters how people think. They're being policed. It matters to me, and it should matter to the community. They need to have a level of comfort with regards to that. So there's a couple things there. One, there's the privacy issue, and the courts have kind of ruled that everything I've read, they've ruled that it's constitutional. It's not. There's nothing wrong with video capturing something on a public roadway, but then there's this distrust of the company, of corporates, of what are they going to do with the information? Are they going to sell it? And then there's this, you know, are we going to be allowed to put these cameras on county roadways and state roadways? And so I say, you know, why don't we pull it and let's see if there's a legislative remedy for this, potentially a judicial remedy for this. And then, again, most of all, a level of comfort with regards to Escambia County citizens. I will tell you, it's very I still maintain that it is the best tool that I've ever seen in law enforcement. I still think that there might be an avenue forward, and we're going to work with that. In fact, I leave next week for the legislative session, Florida Sheriff's Association, and we'll potentially learn a little bit more about what they're going to be pushing for.
You know, Sheriff Johnson yesterday said that he just thinks it's dead. He thinks, not because he prefers it that way, but he thinks that there's nobody's going to be willing to touch it and really bring it back because the public is so negative about them and the pushback is so huge. Do you think there's a chance that with reforms it gets reinstituted in Florida?
I think that you have to give the people this thought that it is, again, the businesses that we sign contracts with, there has to be a level of trust. You know, how much trust do we have in Apple versus whatever yep. other companies, Microsoft, whatever we have? I think we you know what, I trust them, so I'm giving them all my information, or I give it all to my bank. We got to get to that level, or no, I don't think that we will. However, I don't think that technology is going backwards. I do not think that there's not going to be more cameras, just as there's cameras in my house, in your house, and businesses. I think that eventually those cameras will have more and more AI technology, potentially even bordering on facial recognition type of technology. So I think that there will be a use, law enforcement use, even if it's you're the victim of a crime and you provide that video to me. I just don't know if it's going to be in the same form that it was before. Now, again, you made mention last week, and I know I'm monopolizing some of your time.
That's fine. That's what we're having this conversation.
You made a conversation or the topic last week about does it mean that there's no toll booths? Does it mean that there's no red light cameras and all that sort of thing? Those are all things
those are all
that
separate.
Will be addressed.
Yeah.
And again, I think that the people have to have a level of comfort with those as well.
You know, you asked me, I thought, a really great question. I think it was last Tuesday. You said, well, what do you want? You know, what would be the rules? And, you know, since then I've had a fair amount of time to think about it. The ones I've been talking about are things like, okay, so if there's a list of license plates that are, you know, you already have warrants and investigations on, that's like the no-fly list is kind of what I think of. I don't have any problem with you retaining that information. But if somebody's not on that list, it seems like, okay, you can collect it, but it ought to flush out of the system. I don't know. I asked Eric Winstrom about this, and he said within a couple of hours is the primary use. Like if it's, you know, there are a couple of cases where older than 3 or 4 hours is not is useful, but if you kept it for, say, 4 hours, you know, that would let you do 90% of the uses you have for the license plate readers. So I would be comfortable with warrants, a very limited amount of retention of the non-identified license plates. And obviously a lot of people are concerned about the reselling of the data or the management of the data and that kind of stuff. You know, if I saw that in place, I'd probably be okay. Cause I see the massive crime fighting value. I do. And especially for lost kids and silver alerts and all that kind of stuff. Do those reforms seem plausible to you?
No, yeah, no, we, yes, that they do. I was just contemplating some things about that I've heard, some complaints. One's misuse by law enforcement. And I think to your point, you know.
Which, can I just, I don't, sure. I'm not real, I mean, I don't want the rogue cop, you know, surveilling her boyfriend
right,
or whatever.
Who does, right?
But I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the government itself using these cameras through cooperative or compliant law enforcement for nefarious things. I'm not worried about the one person. I'm worried about the actual people in charge making choices. That's what worries me.
Yeah, you know, let me give you like an example. We used to be able to ping phones. You know, if we're looking for someone and we knew they had a phone, we could ping them or try to find a location a little quicker. And then they changed it up some and made it obviously more restrictive. We have to get a search warrant for that, which is fine with me. I totally understand that. Unless there's an Amber Alert, you know, we could do emergency order and then we go back and we get the after the fact type of thing. I am comfortable with only using them on those crimes that reach a certain level that you
felonies,
can use
felonies, exigent
for,
circumstances, yeah.
Forcible felonies even.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe stolen cars, but something that's at a certain level. I'm comfortable with that. I know that it would cause more work for the sheriff's office, cause more work for law enforcement, cause more work for a judge that's on duty
sure.
or on call. But I think that is a level of comfort. I think that as a citizen, I would be comfortable with. The issue is going to be, how do we protect the citizens from the company itself?
Sure.
You know, but that's, how do we do that to Apple? How do we protect them from all these things? There are safeguards in place for those things and rather severe punishments if those are done. So I do think that there may be an avenue forward. I think that it's going to be a lot of curtailing of what's working. We have some rather stringent. We had some rather stringent policies and procedures in place already. I talked about double authentication. We talked about retention was reduced from a year to 30 days. I can live
and now
with
seven even. I think Flock had said seven.
Days, right.
Yeah.
And I can. I'm not so sure about a couple hours. To be honest with you, I think that it needs to be more effective than that. But I can certainly live with a 48 hour. I can live whatever it would take to have that level of comfort and to have this technology, I think is worth it.
You know, I really wanted to talk with you about DCF, but we're out of time, which is fine. This is I think an important topic for us to also talk about. But you are very proud of the Real-Time Crime Center.
Right.
And I've seen it, you know, in use, okay, or at least in monitoring mode. You mentioned the diminishment of your ability because of the loss of the state roads, what that means for your overall network. If your Real-Time Crime Center is operating at a 100% capacity, however you define that, what capacity is it operating at now that you do not have these fixed position automatic license plate readers?
So the Real-Time Crime Center works very well with, we have other surveillance cameras.
Sure, lots of stuff.
They don't track tags and that sort of thing. But we also have other things. We have access to cameras in schools. So the Real-Time Crime Center itself is probably only diminished slightly, but the ability as an investigator to do a follow-up has been diminished greatly.
Okay.
And our ability to move forward with this robust technology that we had foreseen, where all of it integrates within itself to include ShotSpotter, even though that's kind of
going away,
gone now, yeah. Now as well. But we're going to maintain our Real-Time Crime Center. It's still going to be certainly a benefit to the citizens of Escambia County. But again, and there may well be a way forward with some of the options that we talked about a second ago.
Very good. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, appreciate you, sir. And just to be clear, in case somebody didn't catch it last week, this was not like this sudden major reversal. You had already been internally talking about this, thinking about this, debating it, and especially with the conversations, paying attention, listening to people, which I appreciate, and I want to give you credit for that. People from the outside might be like, oh, he totally caved. I mean, I don't think that's how it worked at all, and I know you better than that.
We've been talking about it for months, really. Yeah, we just, you know, the governor obviously changed.
Excellent.
Things.
And we'll talk about DCF next week. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for the time and keeping us safe, sir. I appreciate it.
You bet. Take care.